You know, we've been talking about a series Pastor Joey carried on last week, but we've been discussing about talking the talk and walking the walk. And tonight I want to carry on with that. I really believe that of a title of a subject, of something that we can carry out our lives and we can apply to our lives. I believe, like Pastor Joey talked about last week, that we can apply talking the talk and walking the walk to just about every aspect of our Christian lives. And tonight, I really believe that God has a message for you, and I encourage you guys to just listen up, to take into what we're going to get into tonight, because I really know that if you grab a hold of this, if you really grab a hold of this and apply this to your life, you will not be the same. Those of you who were here last week, you heard me pray over the offerings, and you know, I got a little fired up. I was really, really passionate about it, and this whole week, I've really been carrying through that theme. You know, the church as a whole, as far as the church staff and the leadership of the churches, we've decided to take a direction that is a lot more bold. You know, I said this last week, and I'll continue throughout this week, that we're not gonna stand by and just let the enemy do what the enemy wants to do in our lives. We're not gonna stand by and let the world tell us how churches should be. We're not gonna stand by and just live for the status quo any longer. You know, we decided as a staff and as a church to start to push, to start to really build on the kingdom of God, to really start to seek after God, to just stand in faith, to start to believing on the things that we've been believing for. And tonight, I want to talk about talking the talk and walking the walk. And if you're taking notes tonight, the subject of tonight's message is to stand up. Last week, Pastor Joey brought a great message about love. I know I was really touched by it, especially the part where he had mentioned about, you know, how when was the last time you called your parents and just said, you know, hey, I love you. Is there anything I can do to help you? You know, you're building a wall. Can I come and help you do that? You know, because it's like, man, I don't ever call my parents. As a matter of fact, my mom was gone. Pastor Debbie, she was gone, and I didn't even know she was gone. She was out of state for a while, and I'm like, hey, where's mom? I haven't seen her mom. And they're like, dude, she's been out preaching in, like, you know, in Arizona or something like that, and she's going to Australia. And I'm like, man, I didn't even know that. And I'm like, dude, my parents live like 3 minutes away from my house. I can't remember the last time I just picked up the phone, even though you said, well, Pastor Luke, you work with them. But you'd be surprised at how little conversation we actually really have. So when Pastor Joey brought that up, I was like, man, it really touched my heart. But tonight, I want to speak about standing up, because I really believe that this is something, and this is going to change the fundamental foundations on which we stand, especially here in Shift, especially for the young adult ministry. How many of you in this place are believing for something, whether it be healing, finances, car, job, education, family members, salvations, blessings, anything or everything? How many of you in this place, by a show of hands, come on, get in. It should be everybody in this place is believing for something, hoping for something. Tonight I want to talk about standing up, you know, because for too long, us, when I say the church, I don't refer to the church as the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. I say the church as the body of Christ, us as Christians in general, young adults. When I speak of the church, I say for too long, the church, we as young adults, we as Christians have stood by and let the world tell us how our life should be. For too long, we have stood by and let the enemy come and rob us of our faith, rob us of our healing, rob us of our finances, rob us of our happiness, rob us of the things that we've been believing for. And you know, guys, at some point in our lives, we the church, we the body of Christ, we the children of God have got to decide whether or not we're going to sit back and let this happen, or we're going to stand up. And guys, I tell you tonight, let this be the night, let this be the message that inspires us to stand, to no longer sit back and let the enemy take away our finances, let the enemy take away our family members who are not saved that we've been believing for. No longer will we sit and let the enemy take away our happiness, our fulfillment in life. Tonight, we're going to talk about standing up, about talking the talk, walking the walk, and actually standing for what we believe in, standing for what we have faith in, standing for the things that God has told us. Are you guys excited about tonight's message? I'll tell you what, man, I'm just pumped. I know that this is going to be something that's going to touch your life. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'd like you to turn to 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. Now, we had, if you guys were here on Wednesday night, Reverend Tony Cook was here speaking in church. I'll tell you, Reverend Tony Cook always brings a good word. I have to say I'm partial to Reverend Tony Cook. If you weren't here, you don't know who he is, it's okay. Because Reverend Tony Cook was the dean of my Bible college while I was there. So he was the big, big man on campus. So whenever he comes, I'm always, you know, sit a little bit more straight in my chair. you know, always listen up a little bit more. I know me and Pastor Joey are both like, oh, Tony Cook, because he was our principal. He was our Mr. Belding, for those of you who are still thinking of the 90s. 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter. I want to give you just a couple verses of looking into something, and then we're going to go off of this. I just want to explain what's going on here in 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter here. They're writing about David's mighty men of valor. Now, I want to do one thing before we really get into it. I want to emphasize something. We're talking about David's mighty men of valor. David's what?
Mighty men.
Okay. I want you guys to remember that term, mighty men. All right? David's mighty men. Okay, so here in Samuel, the 23rd chapter, I was talking about Tony Cook because he addressed our staff on Thursday, and he had actually brought this verse up, and I had been pondering this message for a couple weeks, and when we read this message, I was like, bam, the young adults have got to hear this story because this applies to so much in our lives. In the 23rd chapter, here he's speaking to, he's speaking of David's mighty men of valor, and in the 11th chapter, they're speaking, verse 8 and 9, they talk about, he's talking about the top three, David's number three men, you know, his three top men. So verse 8 talks about the first guy. Verse 9, he talks about the second one. 10 tells about their exploits. Number 11, they talk about the third mighty man of valor, the third top guy. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines. Verse 12, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field and defended it, killed the Philistines, so the Lord brought about a great victory. A couple things I want to bring up to your attention just to kind of get your mind thinking about taking a stand. First of all, we read in verse number 11 that Shammah was in a field. All right, the Philistines had gathered a troop, a battalion, a group of soldiers to come and to attack this area, this plot of land, this space, okay? So here's Shammah, here's a bunch of other people, here's a bunch of other children of Israel, they're all gathered together on this area, all right? And the Philistines come, and they're coming to raid the land, they're coming to take over the land. A couple things I want to point out to you. First of all, the Bible specifies what type of land this was. How many of you guys know what a lentil is? It's a bean. This is a field of beans. Okay, so you say, well, Pastor Luke, what does that have anything to do with what we're talking about tonight about standing up? Guys, let me tell you something. How many of you guys know in our battles throughout our daily life, sometimes we face great battles, sometimes we face the little things. Sometimes we start off on the little small things in life. We say, you know what, this is insignificant in my life, but this nonetheless is a battle. This nonetheless is a step of faith. Nonetheless, whatever it is that may be insignificant to somebody else, I'm standing on is a step that we move forward to God. So here, they specify that Shammah and the children of Israel are standing on a field of beans. The Philistines didn't come to attack the temple of Israel. They didn't come to plunder the gold out of the cities. They didn't come to take the women and the children. They didn't come to take the people's fresh water source. Okay? They came to a field of beans. Something as insignificant as a field of beans, you might think, well, why don't they? Yeah, sure, why not? Who gives a heck? They're beans, you know? They're hard. You got to boil them. You got to throw lard in them to make them taste good. You know what? So what? If they come and they take them, that's their beef because they're probably going to chip their teeth when they eat them. So here's Shammah saying, no, because this is my land. This is what David has set for me to guard over, to guide over. This is the place where I have been called to stand. Guys, how many of you know in our lives, whether it be, you know, a great, great battle of faith or something that we're believing for, maybe it's, you know, fighting for cancer for somebody in your family members or you know, believing for the salvation of your friends, all the way up to, you know, I want a new pair of shoes or something as, you know, what you might seem as insignificant. Here the Bible specifies that he's standing on a field of beans, meaning there is nothing too low to start with. But now I want to specify something else I want to bring to your attention. So now they're on a field of beans. There's a troop of Philistines. And the people, what? Fled from the Philistines. Now I asked you earlier to remember, what were we talking about? David's mighty men. Now I want to just say something as we get your thoughts going, as we just get you, you know, dwelling on this. You don't hear the exploits of David's wussy men. Right? We don't have the chapters and the stories of David's of wimpy men of valor. Right? We don't hear the stories of the people who ran, who fled from their problems, who fled when troubles came their way. Guys, I challenge you tonight. How is it that you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered as a child of God who was mighty in the things of God? Or do you want to be remembered as the person who fled? The people that nobody writes about, the people that nobody remembers. Their names weren't important enough to mention because why? They ran. But one man stood, Shammah. He stationed himself in the middle of the field. Something else to point out, guys, is Shammah. He stood in the middle of the field. He didn't go to the back and say, I'm going to let them get tired as they come to me. You know, he didn't position himself to where like, you know, he can like, all right, you know, if they come and it gets too much, I can just split and I'm all right too. He stationed himself in a position of vulnerability. He stuck himself out there, believed in God, because why? He was one of David's mighty men. We as the children of Christ have got to stand up in this place, have got to stand up in our lives like Shammah. Go out to the middle of the field where there's no exit, where there's no safety around anywhere. I am exposed to everybody. I am exposed to the things of this world. I am exposed to what the enemy may throw at me. And he set himself out into the middle of the field and he said, let it be what it is. And the Philistine troop came and he fought them off. And he killed them single-handedly. Something to remember is that God, when he sets out something for you, when you say that God is with you, when God is on your side, when you are standing in faith, God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. And it says that he stationed himself in the middle of the field. He defended it, and he killed the Philistines. The very end of the verse says, so the Lord brought about a great victory. Tonight, guys, it is time for us as the church, it is time for us as the young adults in this place to stand. No longer can we sit by and let the world dictate what the status quo is. No longer can we sit by and say, well, that's just the way I feel. I'm not happy about my life, but that's just the way it is. It is what it is. No longer can we sit by and say, you know what? I give my tithes and offerings to the church, but you know, I don't have any money any other way. No longer can we sit by and say, you know what? I've been believing it for my faith. I've been standing in faith for my healing, but you know, it is what it is. I guess I'll just, you know, just live with it. And I guess this is just the way it's going to be. Guys, at some point in our lives, we have got to stand. So tonight, I want to give you 4 points, and I believe if you really grab a hold of these points, God is going to change your life. It's going to empower you. It's going to build you up so that you can stand for the things that you're believing for, that you can stand for those issues that you're facing, for the family members or the friends that you know, the coworkers that you know who are unsafe. You can begin to stand in intercession and believe that they will come to the Lord. For those of you who are sick in this place, you can believe to stand and know that your healing has already been paid for by Jesus Christ. No longer are we going to sit back and take it. Tonight, 4 things, some helpful tips to stand up. If you're taking notes in this place, 1, remember who you are. Too long and too often, we as Christians, we as the Church of Christ, we as the body of Christ, forget who God has called us. Forget who we are in Christ. We go about our lives and we forget what God has set upon us, what God has called us out to. I want to give you an example. I want you to think about this for a second. In my hand, I have a card. This is a AAA card. This card tells whoever it may be that I am a member of an association, of an organization. With this card comes benefits. Okay, if I'm to break down on the side of the road, I can call the number on the back and I can get free towing up to 200 miles. If my tire goes flat, I can call and the tow truck can come and replace my tire. If my battery dies, I can call and the auto company will come to my car for free and jump my car. If I run out of gas, they'll come and bring me gas. But not only does it give me benefits as a driver, as an automotive, as a person, you know, driving, it also gives me benefits as a member. I get discounts on travel, on airlines, on rental cars. I get discounts at restaurants. I get discounts at hotels. But how many of you guys know that even if I carry this card, if I become a member of an organization, if I was to sign up for an organization and get this card, oh, cool, great, I'm so happy, and I was to take this card and put it in a drawer somewhere in my room, weeks become months, months become years, and all of a sudden, I forget that I'm a member of this organization. Now my car breaks down. I don't have the number to call. I don't remember what it was. I forget that I'm a member of AAA, the Automotive Club. Now I got to call a tow truck, and the tow truck driver tells me that it's going to be $250. Or I get a flat tire and I don't have a spare. I have to call somebody out. Now it's going to be X amount. Or, you know, I go to a hotel and I stay at a hotel, you know, and I don't get any kind of a discount. What good does being a member of that organization do? Why is it, guys, that in our Christian lives, oftentimes it is like that? Oh, that's deep. Some of you guys, I don't think you're getting it. Why is it that in our lives, oftentimes we raise our hand and we say, yeah, God, I'm going to serve you. Lord, I'm so glad that I get to be a member of your family, get to be a child of God. And then we leave the church. We leave the service and we put that into a drawer and we forget about it and we go about our daily lives and we forget who we are in Christ. And now all of a sudden we try to face the battles of life. We try to stand in faith and believe and we do it on our own accord. How many of you guys know that the benefits of being a member don't apply if you don't remember them, if you don't hold them into your accountability, if you don't keep them on you? We as children, if we're going to stand for the things that we're believing for, if we're going to put a stop to the enemy running our life, if we're going to put a stop to the world telling us how we should live our lives, we, number one, guys, have got to remember who we are. In Romans, the 8th chapter, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Some of you may recall, in the beginning of summer, Pastor Joey and I, we had a series about being in Christ, remembering who we are. We are in Christ. We are the children of God. Recalling to that, Romans, the 8th chapter, verse number 15. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. How many of you guys know what adoption is? Right? You've heard of Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt going to China and bringing the babies back from China and adopting them into their family? Adoption is the term where you bring somebody who was not of your family, somebody who is not of your blood, you bring them into your family, you bring them into your circle of influence, you bring them into your life. They become just as if they were blood. There's nothing different for them. They are just as much of a family member as somebody born in that family because they have been brought in. We have not been given a spirit of bondage. We have been given the spirit of adoption. We as Christians, we as children of God have been adopted. We once were outside of the family of Christ. We once were outside of the blessings of God, but God gave us the spirit of adoption. He took us out of the darkness and he adopted us into his light. We now are the children of God. We can cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Guys, the Bible tells us, the Bible assures us, the Bible promises us that when we live in Christ, when we remember who we are heirs in Christ. We are the privileged children of God. We have the Father. We have the family on our side. Have you guys seen the Godfather? Right? The family. We have the Godfather. God the Father to call on. No longer are we the Lone Ranger. No longer are we the person who's out on our own, doing things on our own. But when we remember who we are a child of God. We are heirs with Christ. We begin to realize, you know what? I can stand against whatever comes and whatever problems I may face. Because now I know that for one, I am not alone. I'm not the child who is out. But now I'm adopted into a family. I'm adopted into something that is bigger than I can ever imagine. To a family greater than any other family in the world. To a father with more love and a father with more power than anybody else, anything can ever imagine. I am adopted as a child of the one who created the universe. And all we need to do, guys, as we stand and as we begin to look into what we need to do to stand, we need to recall who we are. We need to remember who we are in Christ. We need to remember that we are the children of God. 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter, speaking prophetically to the churches of the Greek area of the Mediterranean. Peter writes this. In 2nd chapter, verse number 9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." Guys, let me tell you something. You were not an accident. You've heard me say that before. Your parents may not have loved you as a child. Your boss may say that you're worthless. But let me tell you something. You have been taken out of what the world says. You have been taken out of what your family may have said and have been adopted into the kingdom of God. You have been adopted into the family of God. And First Peter, the second chapter, says, we are God's own special people. We have got to recall, to remember who we are in Christ. If you're taking notes tonight, secondly, in order to stand, we have got to recall what we've been taught. How many times have we sat in a sermon, myself included, sat in a service, we've heard the preacher talking, said, "Man, that's good. Man, pastor, you spoke. That word was for me. I'll tell you what, I'm so glad I came because that was for me tonight." And we leave the service. Days go by and we forget what was said. Oh, what was that verse that he talked about? What was that point that he said? Man, I remember that. It was really good, but I just can't. I can't get. It's on the tip of my tongue. How many times have we done that? I think all of us have done that. Let me put it to you like this. Speaking of the 90s, most of us were in junior high or high school in that time. Does anybody remember algebra? Right? Does anybody, I don't know, I may be the only one, but I have a feeling that I'm not. When the teacher was explaining that A squared plus B squared equals C squared, I was thinking in the back of my head, where in my life, in the real world, my teacher, whose name was Miss Moffitt. Miss Moffitt, where in the real world am I ever going to use X plus Z equals Y or X minus N to the fifth power is whatever, right? How many of you guys know, and you can relate, man, in algebra, when am I going to use that in real world? And then all of a sudden we become adults, we get jobs, and most of it doesn't apply, but there might be that one thing. Somebody might say, "Hey, listen, man, I'm trying to think of something. You know, I got this piece of plywood that I want to make a cabinet out of, and I want to figure out the surface area of the line that goes between. I want to make a perfect 90 degree, you know, obtruse triangle." And you think to yourself, why, oh, why did I not pay attention in algebra? And you think, oh, you know, the mind goes blank. The question mark goes up. You know, you hear the Apple restart sound, right? Because it ain't there anymore. Oftentimes as Christians, we do that. We hear the Word of God. We read the Scriptures. We read what we've been taught, what we've been told in the Bible. And we say, oh, yeah, that's cool. Shammah stood in the middle of a bean field. Where in the real world does that apply to me? But guys, let me tell you something. The Word of God does not return void. I was just thinking of the Apple thing, sorry. God tells us, He's speaking to the children of Israel through Isaiah the prophet, and He says, in Isaiah 55:11, you don't have to turn there, I'll just put it up on the board. God speaking says, so my word will be so that it goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void. David, King David tells us in Psalm 119th chapter, your word, God, have I hidden in my heart so that I would not sin against you. God, guys, let me tell you something. The Word of God is planted in you. You sit in the services of God. You listen to it. You read the Bible. You plant a seed. Yes. You may forget that seed. Yes, that seed may be laying dormant in you. But like God said, like He told the children of Israel, my word shall not be void. King David says, your word I have hidden in my heart so that I might sin against you. So all of a sudden, when the real world comes, when we recall what we've been taught, when we begin to look back on the principles of God, when we begin to look back at Shammah in the bean field, and we can say, you know what? That's an example for me. That's an inspiration for me to stand. To no longer let the enemy take control of my life. If we are to stand in this place, Christians, if we are to stand in this place, young adults, we have got to recall what we have been taught. In Luke, the 10th chapter, verse number 17. Jesus sends out 70 of His disciples. Speaking of, what have we been taught, Pastor Luke? What have we been taught? What is it that you're speaking of? I have to recall this. In Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 17, here's Jesus sent out 70 disciples to do his work. He empowers them to go out. And in Luke 10, 17, they return back to him. The 70 return with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Verse 19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." What have we to recall? What are we to recall that we have been taught? That we have been given the authority. When Jesus was nailed to that cross, he gave the authority. He gave it to us so that we can take a hold. We can stand against the issues of our life. We have been given the authority that nothing that the enemy has can hurt us. The Bible tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. The Bible tells us that by his stripes we were healed. We as Christians, if we are to stand, need to recall the things that we have been taught. Are you guys getting something out of this in this place? Romans 8, chapter verse 31 through 35, I'll just put it up on the overhead, says, "What shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his son, but delivered him to us. So how shall he who is not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God who makes intercession for us? What is it that the world can say about your situation that matters? What is it that the enemy can come and say about your finances, about your health, that matters? Who is it that condemns? Christ came to save us. Who is it that judges you and says, you can't do that, you're not good enough to do that, when God came and justified us?" Guys, we need to recall the things that we have been taught. The Bible tells us that his word will not return void. That is a promise of God. When you put in the word of God, it will not come out void. It will not come out as empty words or empty promises. We need to stand on the word of God in this place. Number three, we need to return to the source. Now, I want to say something before I get any further. You might say, "Pastor Luke, as I'm writing my notes, I noticed that recall what we've been taught and return to the source sound a little bit repetitive. They sound a little familiar." But I want to emphasize on one thing. And with that, I'm going to use an example. Does anybody know one of the biggest reasons that hikers are lost and need to be rescued? It is not because they venture off the trail. That is part of the reason, yes. But the reason that hikers who are lost and need to be rescued, one of the most predominant reasons is because they are lost and they venture off the trail and they keep going. Instead of saying, "You know what? This isn't the trail that the map says I'm on. You know what? I think I'll keep going." Let me give you a little illustration. Last summer, my brother and I decided that we were going to climb Mount San Gorgonio. Yeah, it was great. We had a good time, you know, 11,500 feet above the tree line. Oxygen's thin up there. It's a long trip. We decided to take the most direct and steep route. We didn't know about it. So about halfway up, our hearts are beating fast because of the altitude. We look at the map and it's just a bunch of switchbacks. And we say, "You know what? We could take a shortcut. We could cut through. I see this." My brother says, "I see the small trail. You know what? That's the trail all the locals use. Let's take that." Me being the person that I am, say, "All right, we'll give it a shot." 4 hours later, in bushes above our heads, I don't even know where my brother is. He's on some other ridge, and I'm saying, "Steven!" And then like 60 seconds later, "Hey, do you see a trail?" No. "But I think the next ridge. Finally, we're like, "Dude, we are going to leave you. We're going to turn around and get back on the trail." And he was like, "Okay, you're right." Guys, a lot of times as Christians, yes, we've gone the trail. We have the map. We have recalled what we have been taught. But the fundamental difference, like the hikers who get lost, is we don't stay there. We have got to return to the source. Yes, we can be taught how to talk the talk. We can be taught how to walk the walk. "Yeah, Lord, I'm believing for my healing. God, I'm believing for my finances. I'm going to get that job in the name of Jesus." And then all of a sudden we take a rabbit trail. When hard times come, we say, "You know what? Maybe I could take a shortcut and get there a little faster." and we leave the place that we were, and instead of turning around and acknowledging that now we are doing this on our own power, we keep going. And we miss out on the things of God. We wonder why our faith isn't coming through. Because we tried to take a shortcut. We got off the trail. Guys, we have got to return to the source. We have got to stay where God has called us to be. Is anybody out there tonight? In John, the 15th chapter. You can turn there because I'm going to kind of hang out here for the next point too. Jesus is preaching. And Jesus is speaking of this very subject of staying in place, of staying on the trail. In the 15th chapter, verse number 4, Jesus is using the analogy of the vine, of a vineyard. How many of you guys know that grapes don't just grow out of the ground, right? Grapes don't appear off an apple tree. Grapes don't just show up on a citrus tree. Grapes grow on a vine. They grow together. They strengthen the nutrients flow through the whole organism. And Jesus is using that as an analogy to himself. And he says in 15, verse number 4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Verse number 5, he says, "I am the vine, and you are those branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing." Verse number 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and withered, and they gather around him and they throw him into the fire and they are burned." Guys, when we get off the trail, when we get away from the things of God, when we start taking our own shortcuts and we say, you know what, I think this is the path that I'm supposed to go. Instead of seeking after God, instead of recalling what we have been taught, and instead of going back to the source, returning to our source, Jesus says, if you abide in me and I in you, then you much can be done. You will be fulfilled. But you know what? As soon as you start to go off on your own and you leave the vine, a branch cannot handle on its own. The branch withers and it becomes firewood. Guys, as young adults, if we're to stand for the issues, if we're to take back what the enemy has taken from us, to take back what the enemy has taken from our families, to tell the world that it has no place in our life and what the world says about us doesn't stand, we have got to be fulfilled. We have got to be strong. We cannot be firewood. We cannot do this as ourselves. We cannot do this on our own. We have to return to the source, the point where the nutrients flow. We have got to be connected to that vine. Is anybody getting something out of this tonight? Jesus tells us in John the 14th chapter that he is the way, the truth, and the light. No man gets to the Father by him. Oftentimes we know we're standing in faith. Hard times come and we say, you know what? I think I could do it this way. You know, if I'm believing for this, you know, financially, and if I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this and I do that and I sell this on eBay and I go to Craigslist and I get this, then maybe, just maybe, I can save up enough money for that. When instead, we can have the faith and say, you know what, God, in the name of Jesus, I believe that you are going to open the doors. You are going to provide. Father, I believe. I stand in faith. You know, we might say, well, you know, my healing. You know, okay, well, you know, today I'm not feeling good, but you know, the flu's going around. That's just how it is. I'm achy today. That's the flu season. Right? We kind of begin to go on our own. Okay, we justify it. No, in the name of Jesus, the Bible says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The Bible says that nothing in me can stand because I am a child of God. I, as a person of light, darkness cannot dwell within me. And now all of a sudden, if we begin to grasp and we stay on the vine, we stay connected to Jesus, we stay connected to the power of God, then we can truly stand for what God has called us to be. Is anybody in here tonight? Finally, we have got to rely on God. We cannot do this on our own, like you've heard me say. So often in our lives, we stand in faith and we believe, like I was just mentioning, or something's coming up, and oh God, I believe in you. Oh Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And we get hit. You know, at the same time, man, I got a cold. Boom, I got the flu now too. Oh, okay, well, all right. I'm just going to take the NyQuil and believe. You know, the doctors gave me the prescription. No, in the name of Jesus, we have got to rely on God. You know, in our lives, we can only do what we know to be natural. The doctors can only say what the doctors know. The banks can only say what the banks know. Your situation in the world can only be said what the world knows about your situation. We as humans, we as people, we live in the natural, right? We are here right now. But when we take the super that is of God and we apply that to the natural in our life, we can get supernatural results because our God has a second opinion to what that doctor tells us. Our God has a different perspective to what the banks say about my status. Our God has a different view of what my boss says about me. When we begin to rely on God, we begin to see things through the eyes of God instead of our own natural. You know, I can't do this. Oh, I'm not strong enough. I don't have enough willpower. You know, I don't have enough knowledge to try to get this job that I've been believing for. You know, physically I'm not able to, or I'm just too tired, or my schedule doesn't permit. I can't get into that school. My grades weren't good enough. I can't get that car. My credit's not good enough. Or I can't do this. I can't be healed. The doc, you don't understand, Pastor Luke, my situation. The doctor says it's terminal. The doctor says it's incurable. There's no disease. There's nothing for me. But when we apply that in our natural, we say, you know what? My God says that I was healed by His stripes. That He will pour out a blessing so that I cannot contain. When we begin to believe what God says in our lives and we begin to rely on the power of God and not the power of man, we can truly stand and take a stand against the things of this world. In John 15:5, we just read, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But that last part, what does it say? For without me, you can do nothing. But with God, if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark, the 10th chapter. Without me, you can do nothing, God says. But in Mark, the 10th chapter, Jesus tells his disciples, speaking of a man, we talked about him, the rich man who came and wanted to get into heaven, and Jesus told him to sell all of his possessions. And he said he was sad and he left, and Jesus said, it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit God. And the disciples say, well, then how can anybody be saved? But Jesus applies this to our lives. Jesus tells us in John the 15th chapter, without him, we can do nothing. But in Mark, the 10th chapter, verse number 27, Jesus says, with men, it is impossible, not with God. For with God, all things are possible. For with God, all things are possible. The doctor's reports may come out impossible, but from God, all things are possible. In closing tonight, Philippians the 4th chapter, verse 13, this is a familiar verse to some of us. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The Bible doesn't say that we can do all things through our own power. Because we're the kids of God. Because we're the children of God. The Bible doesn't say we can do all things because we're in the family of God. No, the Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When we rely on God's power, when we stand on who we are, when we recall what we've been taught, when we stay in the source and we stay connected to the vine, we can do all things. That situation that you're believing for, when you raise your hand and you thought of what it was you're believing for, you can stand and believe for that. You can stand and fight the fight of faith. You can stand, and when the enemy comes, when the world comes, when hard times come, you can stand and say, no longer will I sit and let the world tell me what Christianity is. No longer will I sit and say how my health is. Young adults, it is time for us as the church, as the body of Christ, to take a stand. No longer can we be mamby-pamby Christians. No longer can we be God's wimpy children, like David's mighty men, like Shammah. With that issue you're facing, with that thing you're believing for, whatever it may be, I encourage you in this place, go to the middle of the field and stand. Remember who you are. Recall what you've been taught. Return to the source and stay there and rely on God. And you watch God prevail in that situation in your life. Did you get something out of that tonight?